So what do we look for in a job? Enough money to pay the bills, sure, but plenty of research shows that people often want more than a paycheck. They want to get some meaning out of their work, and that can mean working for a place that is not so focused on the bottom line because it's a nonprofit organization. Our next guests have plenty of experience with nonprofits. They've never met before, so we're getting them together via the phone lines here. Vicki Lind is a career counselor and job search coach and the founder of Vicki Lind Associates in Portland. She's steered a few people to nonprofit work over the years. Vicki, thanks for joining us.
Yes, you're welcome. Nice to be here.
And Donnie McClurkin is with us as well. He's an affiliate professor in the economics department at Southern Oregon University and the founder of Cascades Hub, which assists nonprofits in developing plans and approaches. Donnie, good to see you again.
Great to see you, Jeffrey.
So you both have enthusiasm for nonprofits. And Vicki, tell us a bit about yourself and how you see enthusiasm for nonprofits and what you do.
Okay, great. I would be glad to. So I help people in career transition or with job search to get their next job. I think what I want to do is tell you that I start out with talking to people on both sides of the street, their ideals and their economic realities. And because nonprofit for a similar role pays, you know, notably less, we want to make sure they're in a time and a place financially that will meet both their needs rather than kind of having a day job and doing their true contribution through volunteer work. So another way to make sure that the economics of the nonprofit what I like to do is broaden the umbrella to say you want to work for a mission-driven organization. So sometimes that's actually a for-profit sustainability organization that looks at a triple bottom line. Sometimes it's a government organization for the public good. And sometimes it's technically a nonprofit. So when people are values-driven on making a contribution, I kind of try to open up that definition a little.
So it's not just based on nonprofits. It can be done in a profit-making world as long as they are looking at more than just the single bottom line.
Right, right. And there's lots of hybrids up here in Portland. OHSU is a hybrid. There's an energy conservation group that gets a lot of public funds and is private. And so there's interesting collaborations and hospital and healthcare and education. Can be really overlapping private and nonprofit.
So, Vicki, you mentioned talking to people about their economic realities and their ideals. Let's focus on the ideals end for a second. When people are looking for work that they want to get some meaning out of, feel like they're making a difference in the world, is it for altruistic reasons or is it sometimes as well some sort of burnout from the corporate world?
Well, nonprofits don't work less than people in the corporate world. So it's almost always, and particularly like right now, we have all nonprofits have a huge engulfment of people wanting to volunteer and wanting to make a difference who don't feel very sympathetic with the political direction things are going and are worried about consequences. So we've got idealism, and now we've got fear-driven. What's going to happen to the environment? What's going to happen to immigrants? What's going to happen to homeless people? So idealism and fear can be very strong motivators beyond one's, as well as meaning from what you do on a day-to-day basis.
Now, Donnie McClurkin, to turn to you, you see a future where there are more nonprofits. I mean, ultimately, do you think everything could be a nonprofit? I mean, is this are you the messiah of nonprofits?
Certainly not the messiah, but like Vicki, I have a passion for people who are looking for purpose in the work that they do. And I also would expand the definition of nonprofit to include all of the forms of business that circulate wealth back in. That put their profits back into the community. And when you consider that, you can add in credit unions, you could add in mutual insurance companies, industrial foundations like Mozilla Firefox. There are lots of forms of entity, consumer cooperatives, that put money back in to the community. And in fact, don't even have a triple bottom line, have more like a triple bottom tier where the environment and people come first, the workers and the people that they're serving come first, and then profits are used as a means in order to achieve an outcome that's social or environmental.
Are the skills any different, Donnie, to what's required in this kind of world versus the standard going to work for the corporation thing?
Well, increasingly, as not-for-profit organizations go into business and expand their business activities, we're seeing a lot of similar transfer in skills. I imagine Vicky's experiencing that as well in terms of people coming from the for-profit corporate workforce and being able to actually add value into a non-profit or not-for-profit circumstance that's expanding in terms of the ways it does business. But I think there's also a greater sense of empathy that often sits underneath not-for-profit forms of business because of what we've been talking about, that they're driven by mission. They're really looking at that outcome primarily, and then secondarily they work out what's the bottom line financially that allows us to fulfill that mission.
Which sounds like it's a variation of what Vicky was talking about with individuals, where you have to figure out where your ideals meet your economic realities.
Absolutely.
So we're talking to both Donnie McClurkin, an affiliate professor in the economics department at Southern Oregon University. He's also the founder of Cascades Hub, which is all about nonprofits and helping them get going. Vicky Lind is a career counselor and job search coach and the founder of Vicky Lind Associates in Portland. Join the conversation on the exchange. Let's talk about careers and altruism and nonprofits. 800-838-3760 to join by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Vicky, I'm curious about that nexus again that you pointed out right at the get-go about figuring out your ideals and your economic realities and essentially what you can afford to do. And I wonder if, as I read over time, things get so much more expensive, particularly in housing in Portland, as people end up much more dealing with the economic reality side of things first.
Right. I tend to, when people come in, draw a little box. And by the way, I do work with people virtually for your listeners. And so the box has the realities. And the one side is geographically. Are you going to relocate? How much will you commute? One is bottom line traits about how many hours you can work, you want to work. Because if somebody's leaving a corporate where they're working 60 hours and they go to a little underfunded nonprofit, that's not going to change. It's going to be very part of the culture of working a lot of overtime. Excuse me. So we look at what the limits are there. And then we look at what's the economic range and what is the cost to you or your family of lower income. So a lot of times if somebody has a spouse, then that means go have that discussion and come back with an economic range of where you can start at and where you need to be if you're positioned for a next job. And then we start to look at options within that box. But you heard how, is Donnie your first name?
Yes.
We were on the exact same page. We really did more of a continuum from private with no social good and low values for the employee up to complete nonprofit. And Donnie used the word not for profit. But when we're looking at this wider range, that means that like I have people identify 10 target organizations that they'd like to work with. And so, like, somebody yesterday put on their, it's Mud Something, a pet supply, and they are so socially conscious. Their committees, their volunteering, the kind of people that they bring in, and so it's, you know, organic pet supply. So people have to do the research for the kinds of criteria. And I didn't even think about what Donnie said, is does their money and their profits go back to the public good? So we've opened up that box a lot, which helps with knowing, even if you can't do a very low-paying nonprofit.
When you talk about looking for 10 target organizations, I mean, how easy is it to research that in the world of the internet and still, I mean, get a real feel beyond the gloss of web pages for what a company's really like?
I'm a big LinkedIn fiend, and so one of the things about mission-driven people, they'll open the doors to each other for networking. So you call and say, I'm really concerned about water or reforestation or homelessness, and I see you care about it too and work with it. Can we meet for 20 minutes or to talk about what the culture is like or, you know, help me prepare for an interview? So the combination of LinkedIn and the internet works pretty well.
All right. So in the process of trying to figure out what people can handle economically, do you find that they will drop back a bit in salary but report themselves a lot happier, even having taken a job that pays them less?
Well, it's very person by person. I think there's a lot of sticker shock. The first person I came worked in for an investment company doing due diligence for major investors, and she was making $90,000, and she was at the end of the 30s, and she says, I want to use this skill set in nonprofits, and I've made the sacrifice that I'll go down from $90,000 to $70,000. Well, sorry, that's not going to work for entering into a nonprofit, and it doesn't even have a parallel position exactly to what, you know, to what she did. There are two parts to any job: your familiarity with the industry or the issue. So, do you know about water policy or homelessness or handbags? And then is what is the job function? So, it takes a year and a half or two if you're going to change both of those things out. So the worst client comes in, can hardly pay their mortgage, and they want to do something entirely different for the same dollar amount. And so then we have to adjust to, can you do a transition plan?
Donnie, let's talk about the approach that you see when people come to Cascades Hub and they're trying to start nonprofits. Are they generally people who have worked for other people in profit-making businesses and want to see something more from themselves in the world?
Sometimes there's that transition that we're seeing. Often it's people who've already been working in existing organizations and are looking for something that they have an idea they look to pursue. But I think there's a really interesting trend here that's worth touching on as well. Nonprofit salaries in the US are rising much faster than for-profit wages are. And that's a really interesting trend, especially in the climate that we look at, where philanthropy for nonprofits dropped, especially throughout the financial crisis. The reason that happened is because nonprofits are going into business. They're setting up subsidiary companies, which are, for all intents and purposes, look like for-profit companies. And the profits.
So it's a nonprofit main company, but a subsidiary that is more or less profit-making.
Correct. And the profits then that the for-profit makes go into funding the nonprofit's work, which is allowing for wage rise within the nonprofit sector in a really exciting way. So I agree with Vicky that the position at the moment for people who are starting organizations is to look at a pay cut and to be looking primarily at the purpose that sits underneath that in terms of the impacts that will have on their own well-being. But I think the long-term trajectory here is in a direction where nonprofit employees are going to be valued in ways that actually make it more sustainable for most people to make that decision to shift over into that sector.
Nonprofits and finding careers within them is the topic here on the Jefferson Exchange. Donnie McClurkin is with Southern Oregon University and Cascades Hub and the Post Growth Institute still? Okay. And Vicky Lind is a career counselor and job search coach and the founder of Vicky Lind Associates in Portland. 800-838-3760 if you'd like to join us by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Vicky, you talk about on your website where meaning meets money. I mean, by the time someone comes to see you, have they often found the money but not much meaning?
Well, that's a great place to be. In fact, I get really happy. And let's say a man comes in and they say, hey, the kids are a little bit older. I've been more stay at home. Of course, it could be the reverse. And my wife's making $150,000, and we live on that fine. Woo! That means you get to go straight to the heart of idealism. same thing. A student comes in, or a recent graduate, with no student debt. And so that means silly to spend your 20s, to me, chasing money. You should be chasing experience and meaning and trying things on and taking risks, meanwhile, you can, to find your true heart. And also to have the years to build into a leadership position. So you might start separating food for the food bank, and you might end up being in charge of the volunteers who do that. So young people, people with a spouse or other private income, or people as what's called an encore career, when they need some income, then we've got a great playground for meaning to dominate.
I wonder how much things have changed over the last 10 or 15 years. I mean, the economy has changed greatly in a lot of ways, and I just wonder if the whole career counseling business has changed as well, too.
I don't think that it has. Job search has changed because it's very keyword-driven, and resumes are tailored to each job. So somebody coming from the private sector will often believe, I had a guy come in that I really couldn't help again, who was a vice president of a traditional bank, and he thought when they read how much he had accomplished with rising so well into the vice presidency, that they would automatically assume he could do whatever on the nonprofit side and would have welcome arms. He also had had a serious discussion with his wife of coming down from 200,000 to 100,000 for entering a nonprofit. And it's like, you have to show parallelism to the most common job titles and skill sets in a nonprofit. So there's executive directors who work very hard, often take on fundraising responsibilities. There is the development director, which includes asking people for money. Then there's tend to be a series of kind of outreach and communication positions that can go from like 30 to 60,000. And the kind of direct service of, then there's program coordinators where you, and so you need to research the common job titles and look at how your past skills will shape you to compete for those.
All right, how you line up for that. Donnie McClurk, just a couple seconds left. I mean, do you see the sky the limit for nonprofit? Could any company be a nonprofit in the future you envision?
Absolutely. Whether you're a manufacturing company, a real estate agency, a bank, you can be not-for-profit, and there's a huge future there that we're exploring at the Post Growth Institute.
All right, we'll talk more about the Post Growth Institute on a future program. It's about time to have you back to talk about that. Donnie McClurk, an affiliate professor in the Economics Department at Southern Oregon University, the founder of Cascades Hub, and the founder of the Post Growth Institute. Vicki Lind, career counselor, job search coach, the founder of Vicki Lind Associates in Portland. Thank you both for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thanks, Jeffrey. Thanks, Vicki.
Thanks. I learned a lot. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Take care.